A new report says the Trump administration is targeting 9 states over alleged voter fraud, and Wisconsin is on the list. It's Wednesday, September 2nd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, we'll get you the latest about that Trump administration investigation. Plus, the measles outbreak in Wisconsin has reached a new milestone with more than 100 people infected. And after alleged officer misuse, changes are coming to how the Milwaukee Police Department can access license plate reader cameras.
I mean, I don't think that police officers should be abusing the system, but I do, again, want them to have access to the technology to help.
Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferrett.
We are your hosts of Wisconsin Weekend from WPR News.
Each week, our team works to uncover the stories and events that communities all over the state take pride in.
Our goal is to bring you closer to the unique perspectives and the traditions that make Wisconsin a great place to call home.
Along the way, you'll hear uplifting stories of neighbors in your community making a positive difference.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10.
The U.S. Department of Homeland Security is launching an investigation into alleged voter fraud in multiple states, including Wisconsin. That's according to a new report from CNN. Sarah Lear has the details.
The criminal investigation into voter fraud will be focused on 9 states starting this week. That's according to internal federal guidance cited by CNN. The investigation is being handled by DHS, which typically focuses on immigration as well as transnational crimes, like terrorism or drug smuggling. The timing of the probe is notable ahead of November's elections, which will determine control of Congress. President Donald Trump continues to amplify claims about non-citizens voting illegally. Research shows that voting by non-citizens is exceedingly rare. A DHS spokesperson said the agency could not comment on any active investigations. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Wisconsin utility company and a Madison startup are partnering on a project that could bring one of the nation's first large-scale fusion power plants to Wisconsin. The companies made that announcement this morning. Madison Gas and Electric and Realta Fusion will explore developing a 200-megawatt fusion power plant in Wisconsin. Fusion generates power by combining atoms to turn mass into energy, but the technology is not yet commercially viable. Realta Fusion is targeting the mid-2030s for achieving utility scale. Brad Alexjohn is with Madison Gas and Electric. He says the utility will also be providing broader engineering and technical assistance to Realta as part of the partnership.
We build power plants. We operate the grid, and that's kind of areas where they don't have expertise in, so we're partnering with them in those specific aspects as well.
The utility also became a shareholder in the fusion startup. An energy developer is planning to build 2 new large natural gas power plants in northeastern Wisconsin. As Joe Schultz reports, the company has not yet said how much the project will cost.
Chicago-based Invenergy filed an engineering plan with state regulators last month for a pair of gas plants in Calumet County. The company plans to file an application for the project this fall. The plants would be able to generate a combined 1.9 gigawatts. For context, 1 gigawatt is enough energy to power 100 million LED light bulbs. Kieran Gallagher is with the nonprofit Clean Wisconsin. She says more fossil fuel plants will worsen the effects of climate change.
When is Wisconsin going to stop investing in energy infrastructure that is harmful to our own residents?
But trades unions support the proposal. They say the project would create more than 500 jobs during peak construction. Invenergy hopes to bring the plants into service by 2031. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
More than 100 people have now contracted measles in the ongoing outbreak in southwestern Wisconsin. Data from the State Department of Health Services show the outbreak has grown to 102 confirmed cases and 6 probable cases. The majority have been in Iowa and Lafayette counties, with 9 cases reported in Grant County. All of the new cases have been in people who are unvaccinated. State officials have not identified any places where the public has been exposed, but they said measles is spreading locally. Health officials urged residents to check their vaccination status to ensure that they're protected against the highly contagious virus. The Milwaukee Police Department is changing who has access to the Flock Safety License Plate Reader System. Evan Casey has more.
Two former members of the department have been criminally charged with alleged misuse of the Flock system, while a third officer is under internal investigation. Milwaukee police announced it had changed who has access to the system earlier this year, but members of the Milwaukee Common Council called for more reforms. This week, Mayor Cavalier Johnson said only supervisors will now access the system, and it will only be used for serious crimes and for missing persons cases. Police say they will also stop sharing data with other jurisdictions. Here's Mayor Johnson.
I mean, I don't think that police officers should be abusing the system, but I do, again, want them to have access to the technology to help, you know, solve crimes.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who is running for governor, issued a directive Tuesday calling for new limits for Flock cameras on county property. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Local, state, and federal officials broke ground this week on the $1.8 billion replacement of an aging bridge which connects Superior and Duluth. The Blotnick Bridge replacement is funded by a $1 billion federal grant. Wisconsin and Minnesota are each chipping in around $400 million. Janice Mayer is with the Development Association in Superior. She told WPR's Wisconsin Today that a survey of 126 businesses found many fear they may not weather the closure without additional financial support.
They are really worried about a loss in revenue, and their customer base is going to decline.
Efforts are ongoing to secure funding for those businesses. The bridge will close for up to 5 years, starting in early 2027. Demolition of the 65-year-old span is planned for March, and traffic will be diverted to the Bong Bridge. Superior Mayor Jim Payne says that's likely to increase congestion. Coming up, a story from Wisconsin Life about the emotional relationship many Wisconsinites have with their cabins. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Lee Rayburn. Curiosity can start almost anywhere. Your finances, a home improvement project, new technology, a good book, or just something you've always wondered about. On The Lee Rayburn Show, we explore your questions with expert guests, practical answers, and fresh perspectives. Join me weekdays from 11 to 1 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Sarah Hopeful with a story about a beautiful view.
Many of us have that special place in our homes where we feel at peace. Maybe it's when you park it on the couch, sit down at the sewing table, or immerse yourself in the food pantry. For writer Ron Weber, it's when he's standing in front of a window in his cabin.
It is a view not unlike thousands of others from waterfront homes or cabins in Wisconsin. This particular view, however, is special only in that it has been my view from the kitchen window of our cabin on the shore of Lake Namakagan near Cable since I was 9 years old. As I look out the window to the south, the eyes come to rest on a spruce-laden island with a lone, towering white pine on its northern tip. This pine is a beacon for boaters traversing this part of the lake, like a lighthouse guiding them to the narrows, which leads to another basin of the lake. In the center of my view is the dock, a rustic wood deck resting on a trim aluminum frame, complete with a couple old tires at the end to act as a cushion when a boat is tied up there. It is the only dock I have known. And though most other cabin owners on the lake have gone to more gaudy and modern-looking docks, I have no intention of replacing ours. On things like that, I always rely on the wisdom behind the old axiom, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. To the west lies an expanse of shoreline lined with hemlock and white pines, as well as a nice mix of hardwoods. This shoreline is actually part of a large island, having circumnavigated around it countless times by boat, though from my vantage point of the kitchen window, I cannot tell. Most of the spring and summer, it just looks green. But when Mother Nature gets in the mood to paint come late September, it is transformed into a beautiful tapestry of crimson, yellow, orange, and of course the green of the hemlock and pine. Though the beauty is short-lived, it is worth the wait. And to be honest, I am happy that it exists for only a brief time, making it that more special. I have been blessed with so much that has come to me through this 5-foot by 5-foot pane of glass. Glorious sunsets, too numerous to count. No two ever quite the same. The excitement and trepidation of watching summer thunderstorms roll in across the lake. All the ducks that have appeared, first as pairs and eventually broods of little puffs of down, following their mother in tow. The eagles which perch in the tall white pines on our shoreline, every once in a while swooping down to snatch a fish or unsuspecting duck. Then there was the time an odd, unidentifiable object moving across the lake towards our beach materialized into a black bear, which upon emerging from the lake shook himself off and ambled down the shoreline. Through all the changes in my life, all the challenges and triumphs, ups and downs, good times and bad, this view has remained unchanged. It changes only with the seasons or time of day, but neither the decades nor development have been able to blemish it. We all have important people and places in our lives which serve as our rocks. This is one of my most important waypoints, a place to which I can return to reset my compass, to let me know where I am, remind me of where I have been, and help give me a bearing as to where I am heading. The only real painting I have done is on houses and sheds, but in my mind's eye, I have painted a portrait of this view 1,000 times. Original Rembrandts may be worth a fortune, but to me, my portrait is priceless.
Ron Weber is a writer who lives in Weyerhaeuser. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Sarah Hopeful.
And of course, we got to get your forecast in here before letting you go for the day. Lots of rain in central and northern Wisconsin this morning, seeing a couple of storms in that part of the state as well. High temperatures in the 80s and 90s today. Things will clear in the north later on, but in southern Wisconsin, we could see some storms later this afternoon. Overnight lows in the 50s and 60s. More rain expected tomorrow. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.